What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is September 23rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. What I normally would do is I would go over games from yesterday and talk about the guys you need to pick up from those games. It was six pitchers. Michael McGreevy didn't do well. He could do well if he goes against the Cubs and gets another start. The Cubs might rest those starters. Maybe consider that for Sunday. Justin Verlander didn't do well, and maybe he goes on Sunday to redeem himself before the end of the season. That would be Rocky Road. If he goes in that one, that's great. It's 92 mile per hour fastballs, which is not good. It normally is like 93, 94, and hopefully 94, 95. So maybe there is something wrong here, and they say, you know what, let's just not do it. But if they get the green light, it is Verlander goes against Rocky Road on Sunday, you want that one. Mackenzie Gore will probably go on Sunday against the White Sox, as he didn't go very long in this one. It was just two innings of four runs. Was not fortunate at all. Didn't pitch terribly. It's just whatever. It was one of those days. And considering that he had the IL stint and he wants to get back into rhythm likely before the end of the year, I would imagine the Nationals will let him throw that one on Sunday against the White Sox. So if he goes, we go with it. Freddy Peralta should not be pitching, or if he does, it's going to be very limited in Sunday's game because of the Brewers situation for the playoffs. They need him for the bye. It's a bye week, but they'll have him after that, and they don't want to overthrow him here. So they'll probably go like 50 pitches or something like that. If you're deciding between Peralta and someone else, I would go with that someone else for that reason. But it's possible he could go five innings in that one. And then you have Nick Pivetta, who should not be pitching on Sunday, as he will be the game one or game two starter for the Padres. And they have to go in the NL wildcard series. So I don't really see a reason for them to actually throw Pivetta on Sunday. So do not expect that one. All right, so we are actually going to focus on every pitcher today and tomorrow. If you missed it, I put out the list yesterday, which actually featured all of these starting pitching rankings for the entire week. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's all there on the website. I'll be updating it every day too, based on what I know. So there's only one real change from yesterday. That is the Rangers changing things up, having Patrick Corbin go today, and then DeGrom tomorrow, and then Tyler Mahle, and then Jack Leiter. And what that does is it means that Patrick Corbin would go on Sunday. So not DeGrom. We didn't really expect DeGrom to go on Sunday anyway. The Rangers are out of contention, or at least they are, but aren't, but they are. So DeGrom has already gone over 160 innings. Who had that on their bingo card? And there's no reason for him to go an extra start that doesn't matter on Sunday. They could even theoretically shut him down and not even have him go this year, or sorry, this week to end his season. But I am expecting him to go on Wednesday, with Patrick Corbin going on Tuesday and on Sunday. And that's actually your sneaky two-step for the week, just so you guys know. So I'm going to go through all of Tuesday's games right now. It's Tarek Skubal, Christopher Sanchez, Shohei Ohtani, Logan Webb, and Bryce Miller, with Cole Reagans as a little sprinkle at the end of that auto start tier. And it's pretty straightforward with this one. Bryce Miller gets to host Rocky Road in Seattle. What a wonderful combination. That's so good. We're going to do that. Cole Reagans, yes, he didn't go very long. It was 3.2 innings in his return from the IL. However, he will be stretched out a little bit more. And the Royals are exactly what I was talking about before. They want to get Cole Reagans some volume or some reps before the season ends, so that he feels good entering the offseason. It's a really important thing. For example, we saw Jacob DeGrom do that for three games last year, and that really helped him get into form for this year, right? We see this constantly, and it's a benefit come March to know that these guys have come back from the injury and don't have to go through that process of getting acclimated again at the beginning of next year. So Reagans, all for that one against the Angels, and of course the one after that. Probable start. You could even say that Kevin Gausman is an auto start because he's been pitching so well. And I understand you're just going to go with that one, so fine. Ryan Pepiot gets a really good matchup in Baltimore. I'm going to go with that. I think that this is the matchup we've been waiting for a bit, where he's had to deal with elite offenses or have to deal with Tampa Bay's home park, which is Georgetown Brandon Field. I can't wait to draft Pepiot next year so that he's in Tropicana Field. Oh my gosh. So I'm absolutely in for this one in Camden. Gavin Williams against Tarek Skubal today is going to be an amazing, amazing game, considering that the Tigers are just one game up on the Guardians right now in the Central. Oh my gosh. And Gavin Williams against Detroit. Well, Gavin Williams has been doing well, despite not really looking polished across his arsenal. It's kind of interesting. Brady Singer against the Pirates. Yeah, Brady Singer's looking all right. And also the Mets and Reds are tied for the last wild card spot. And the Mets are out if it ends today because the Reds have the tiebreaker. What? Yeah, Brady Singer is going to be pushed as far as he can if he's pitching well. I think he will be against the Pirates. Luis Gil is going against the White Sox. I will be at this game. If you want to come and say hi, awesome. I'll be along the third baseline. So let me know. Send me a tweet or a DM inside of Discord. Let me know. I'll hope to see you there. I'll be wearing, I think, a pitcherless hat. Probably not. I don't know. I don't know if I want to wear that. You understand. Anyway, so I'll see you guys there tonight. And as far as Luis Gil is concerned, yeah, he's throwing enough strikes. So that's fine. The White Sox aren't very good. I imagine Luis Gil should be just fine. There's upside, of course, for him doing really well. He might have a little few too many walks, sure, but I think it's in your best interest. Same kind of thing with Zebby Matthews. I debated with this with Eric Samolsky on the Corner Podcast, and definitely, if you want the full week's rundown, you should be listening to that on the Corner Podcast. It is just every single day's worth of starts, broken down really with Eric Samolsky outlining the ones that he thinks is more contentious, right? And one of them was the Zebby Matthews thing, was in my stream pick of the day. But it's also PL Bots, by the way. Here's a free one for those without PL Pro. I think that Zebby Matthews has above average stuff. He has good control, and the Rangers are not a good offense, and it's in Arlington, which is a great place to pitch. The downside of Zebby is that sometimes he throws too many strikes and he doesn't command too well inside the zone with the four seam, with the cutter, with the slider. It's all a little too comfortable, right? With nothing truly elite for what he does. So that's the downside. And yes, we have seen some bad starts from Zebby Matthews, of course. I understand if you're afraid of this one, if you don't want to do this and you're debating between other guys, by all means, don't go with Zebby Matthews. I feel like you're okay doing it. Hurston Waldrep against the Nationals. It is a good matchup considering that the splitter is the main thing for Waldrep against the left-handed batters of the Nationals. However, we know splitters, they go in and out. So good luck, but I think it's in your best interest to give that a shot. And Cade Horton's just been so good that you can't really sit him at this point. And he gets the Mets, but the Mets, is that a good or bad thing? I think it's a bad thing. I think the Mets are still a quality offense. It's just the Mets are the Mets. They're cursed. Questionable start here. You have Lucas Giolito at Toronto. I could put this improbable start. The thing is, I don't think that Giolito's arsenal is polished at the moment. It's been really frustrating, as the guy I envisioned when he first returned has not really come to form. I thought he would get better across his arsenal throughout the year. And yes, the slider has become more consistent, but it still does fade away at times. At least when it is working, it is great. But I haven't really seen that start from Giolito of him being at 93, 94, sitting upstairs with a good extension, invert, and then having the changeup underneath it and the slider working to right-handers. You know, I haven't really seen that come to form once. So I'm a little hesitant with this because the Jays are good in Toronto. Yes, Bo Bichette is out, but still, it's a good offense. Christian Javier is in Sacre Verde, and he's thrown the already volatile nature of his ability. And then that park, I don't really want to do it. You have Dean Kramer, who is Dean Werewolf, but it is a good situation, right? It is in Camden against the Rays, and the Rays are not a very good offense. If Dean has his splitter working or his cutter or just whatever it is on that given day, like, this is one of your quality start chances that you might not get too many as the week goes on, because so many pitchers are going to be more limited than usual, as they don't want to overthrow them in meaningless games. You have Johan Oviedo against the Reds in Great American Ballpark. Oviedo is a poor execution, awesome stuff guy, where he has 1.9 height adjusted VA, which is like 99th percentile. And then at times he has like 7.5 feet of extension, which is also 99th percentile. The thing is, he doesn't locate that four seamer exceptionally well at times. The slider, which used to be his number one pitch, and I think it still is not always that big whiff pitch. The stuff is there. It's just the skills of executing it are not quite. And of course, home run prone Cincinnati, you don't really know what you're going to get. But if you need a big Hail Mary play, it might be Oviedo. Jeffrey Springs is in Sacre Verde, that is Sacramento, hosting the Astros. The good thing here is that Springs' best pitch is his changeup. And this is a right-handed lineup. That said, we've seen that before, that kind of right-handed lineup against Springs, and Springs still hasn't executed well enough with his fastball or his slider, and it wasn't sunshine and rainbows. So good luck there. Brad Lord has had some surprise starts last three games or so against Atlanta. I don't really want to do this. It's 1% roster though, so you might find something here. but I don't want to do it. But I get that it can be five plus innings of production. You have low strikeouts, keep in mind. David Peterson, Brandon Font round this out as guys who can go six innings and give you that quality start, but they have tough opponents, and I don't really believe that they are exceptional pitchers. Brandon Font had an amazing game last week. I don't think that he's really that guy. It's really the cauldron, as I've been calling it, of a wide array of pitches that just kind of worked. And it's the Dodgers who are very, very scary, while you have Peterson going against the Cubs, and that's the Cubs, and the Mets are cursed, and blah, 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 blah. You have do not start here. Now, Patrick Corbin, as I mentioned before, is a very sneaky starter, and maybe I want him in that do not start tier for both the Twins and, sorry, not the do not start, questionable start tier for both the Twins and the Guardians. Because he goes 10% fastballs now with an emphasis on the changeup. And this changeup has really not been a major thing for Corbin for ages. And he's starting to lean into it more with the cutter and the slider. And it's worked for the last two games. I mean, it was 4.2 innings of shutout ball against the Mets. But that's still like, whoa, okay. And this is the Twins and the Guardians. Something to think about. I'm just curious about it. We'll see what happens. Shane Smith against the Yankees. I don't want to go for it because it's the Yankees. And Shane Smith hasn't really fired on all cylinders. Eric Cabrera's coming back. He threw 50 games in a simulated start last week, is what we were told during his rehab for the Marlins. But that means, what, 60, 65 pitches against the Phillies? I mean, fingers crossed, it's incredibly efficient, and he goes five innings. But when you think of Cabrera, you don't really think of massively efficient. So, yeah, this is a clear steal ill. Randy Vasquez against the Brewers is a terrible floor. Same with Sam Aldegari against the Royals. Bruce Zimmerman against the Padres. Andre Pallante against the Giants. I don't care if it's in San Francisco, it's Andre Pallante. And then you have McCabe Brown. Absolutely not. All right, we're going to talk about Wednesday's games. The guys tomorrow that you might want to pick up and consider for your rosters. We're going to talk about them after this break. So, your auto starts, it's Ace Day. And the reason why this is Ace Day is because you're going to have a lot of guys that are going here and they don't go over the weekend to prepare for the playoffs, right? So you have Garrett Crochet, you have Paul Skeens, Hunter Green, Max Fried, Blake Snell, Jacob DeGrom, Hunter Brown, blah, blah. You know, these guys are obviously, you're going to start them, right? Robbie Ray, yes, start him against the Cardinals, but he hasn't been very good. It's been against really tough offenses. This is a great scenario in Oracle Park against the Cardinals. You do that. Jesus Luzardo gets the Marlins. You do that. Luis Castillo is hosting Rocky Road. And I've been so much doom and gloom with Luis Castillo this year, and I gotta hand it to the guy for executing his four-seamer and a sinker as well as he has to pull out a 3.63 ERA and a 1.23 whip this year with a 21% K rate. Now, it's not really as exceptional as you want, and keep in mind that Luis Castillo is much better at home than he is on the road. I mean, the Mariners Park is just T-Mobile Park. The T, as I like to call it, is just that good. You just sip your tea and enjoy it. But next year, I'm out on Luis Castillo. He has really been good with his command as of late. So, yes, we are going to be okay with that one for Luis Castillo. And it's Rocky Road, guys. And then you have Sonny Gray, who has been a lot more sunny than Gray. He gets the Giants. We're going for that. Probable start tier. Now, this gets a little interesting because I'm in on Shane Baz in Camden. It's away from Tampa Bay. His velocity is above 97. I think his stuff is generally good. I think this should be fine. Tanner Bibee has been fantastic all of a sudden for the last 3 weeks after being nothing for over 5 months. Unbelievable, Tanner Bibee. Well, he goes against the Tigers in a very big game. So, yeah, I guess we're going to go for that on Wednesday with Tanner Bibee. You have Jack Flaherty against the Guardians on the other side. I think Flaherty is throwing well. I had some hesitations, I understand, because the slider and the curveball are a little precarious at times, and the fastball has been above 93, though. I mean, closer to 94, which is really exciting because it has fallen down to 92 or so. I think he's generally just a very good strikeout play. I think you should be fine with Flaherty. Max Scherzer just had a horrible first inning that he was pulled with two outs. Didn't even get through the first. And yet, he's Max Scherzer. He's fine. Like, this wasn't a degradation of skills all of a sudden that it's going to carry over. We've seen guys get bamboozled like that constantly, and then they just return to form, right? There's nothing about that game that says to me, oh, well, now he can't do it well in Toronto against the Red Sox. No, you're going to start him. Matthew Boyd maybe isn't a probable start because he does get the Mets. However, I think that Matthew Boyd isn't failing at anything. Like, he's being Matthew Boyd, you know? So just keep throwing him out there. He's at 93 miles per hour. He's got the changeup underneath. Like, you're fine. Just start Matthew Boyd like you have all year. Stephen Cole, like I said, a surprising, very surprising couple weeks. And it's against the Angels, which is a really nice matchup. So fine, I'm going to go for it. Whatever. Like, I get it. If you have Steven Kolek, you're not benching him. He's a wide Arsenal guy without much that is very exciting. But fine. I'm going to go with it because the Angels, I believe, have the most strikeouts of any team in the majors. Tyler Wells, I'm also going to go for hosting the Rays in Camden. He's just been very good against weak opponents. This is another one. Like, yeah, you go with this Toby in a good matchup. And Quinn Priester, despite me being out on him for 2026, because I just do not buy that sinker in the zone and the cutter is okay. And the slider is in and out, and that's it. And it doesn't feel like a good plan for left-handers. And he's just done, he hasn't gotten that sinker inside to right-handers enough. And it's just kind of, he's overperforming in my view. That said, it's been such an amazing Vargas rule. Like, you're going to keep rolling with him. This, if you don't know the Vargas rule, it's Jason Vargas, I believe, in 2018, doing really well out of nowhere. And we're like, what? And you just got to hold on to him because you're not going to drop a guy who's doing really well. So he gets the Padres. That's not fun, but fine. I guess you're going to go with that. And questionable start too. You might even put Bryce Elder into that probable start too, considering how well he's done over the past like 3-4 weeks. He had one blip, but even in that one, he had double digit whiffs and not, I think it was 17 whiffs in a lot on the slider in the bad game. So he gets the Nationals now. Like, I get it. If you want to go for it, Eric Samulski was like, absolutely not. I can't do it. And also feels really weird putting Elder in charge of your playoffs. You know, like having him be a major influence when you need it most is so. You don't really want to do that. But, yeah, he's been doing better, and it's weird. Dylan Cease, I put into questionable start because I get it, guys. He's just not performed. And as much as we say he should, he doesn't. So do what you want. If you need strikeouts, you can start him. If you're really hanging on to ratios, like, yeah, I get it. Ryan Weathers against the Phillies, maybe he deserves probable. The thing is, his rehab start was 68 pitches. His first start back, which was last week, 68 pitches. So I'm not expecting over 80 here, which already caps his ceiling. And the Phillies, even though they are worse without Trey Turner, etc., they're still a good offense and in Citizens Bank Park, which is not favorable for pitchers. So keep that in mind with Ryan Weathers. JT Ginn goes against the Astros in Sacre Verde. His command is good. And I do like the matchup against the Astros, these right-handed hitters, but it is a low floor. The ceiling is fine. It's not a good enough risk-reward balance for me to put him in a probable start. It's very possible he just doesn't locate as well and the Astros get to him. Jonah Tong against the Cubs. We know the ceiling, but we also know the floor. He's a splitter, four-seamer guy. Maybe the wind's going out. Maybe it's not. I don't know. It's just a risky start against a good offense. So I'm going to say no for Tong. And I don't actually think of him as a 6-7 inning guy, right? He is the shag rug of the rookie. He's not that kind of arm. So I'm going to put him in questionable. Ryan Nelson, unfortunately, gets the Dodgers. Otherwise, he'd be in probable start. Very clear there. His four-seamer is amazing. The other stuff he's still figuring out. Yusei Kikuchi against the Royals. You never know what you're going to get with him. He's a hipster. Taj Bradley at Texas. Nick, you were in on Zebby Matthews. Why not Taj Bradley? Because Taj Bradley is just randomness. And I just don't want to deal with it. I just don't think he's actually a very good pitcher. So that's me. If you feel comfortable with this, go ahead. But I really don't want to go after Taj Bradley. And then you have Andrew Alvarez against Atlanta, and it's possible Andrew Alvarez does something because he has these two breaking balls, the slider and the curve, that he's often able to get down and into right-handers that are the same velocity but different movement, and that's very interesting and unique, and we've seen that work before. He didn't work on his last start, but I mean, okay, sure, it was a tough matchup, but it is possible that Andrew Alvarez is your NL-only quality start play, but don't do it, okay? Tyler Alexander, T-Lex, goes against the Yankees on the White Sox. He is short-armed, that T-Lex, and he rarely goes over 5 innings, if even that, so don't go for that. And Tanner Gordon, who actually has had some weird strikeout games, maybe can do it in the T against Seattle, but you can't. You can't start Tanner Gordon in Seattle. I mean, come on, the Rockies, this guy, they can't do it. But that is it for today. If you want to get insights on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, well, you can go check out the list article on Monday. No longer do you need to actually have PL Pro to check out that stuff. You can just check out that article on pitcherlist.com. Go check it out. Good luck this week. I'll be live on playback.tv/pitcherlist all week at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So come hang out. I'll answer any questions that you have, but that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.